Shalom to all. Today's Daf is Yerushalmi Shkalim Daf Mem Vav. We are starting Mem Hayomid Beis on the bottom. We're at the beginning of the Gemara after the Mishnah and the Vilna source of Daf. It's on Chaf Hayomid Beis. And today's Daf is sponsored Lila Nishmas Marz Mem Shar Basav Yaakov Moshe Hernish Shama should have an Aliyah. So Mishnah discussed in great detail the 13 different bowing downs that are done in the Beis Hamikdash and explained that these are done corresponding to the 13 different Sharim, the 13 gates of the Hazara. So where it tells Masis and Dabi Yosef Mechanin, our Mishnah is clearly going according to Shiz Dabi Yosef Mechanin. Dabi Yosef Mechanin Omar, he says, can I get Shalisha Asar Sharim that these are corresponding to the 13 gates that a person coming to the Beis Hamikdash or inside would bow down by the gate as an expression of thanks and hoidah to Kadosh Baruch Hu because of the beauty of the Beis Hamikdash. Mem vav amun alf on top. Baram kerabanan. However, according to Rabbanan, shiva sharim hayu b'azara. There are only 7 sharim in the Azara, not 13. And therefore, nothing to Rabbanan. Eichano yishtachavayz halalu. Where did a person bow down if there's 13 but there's only 7 gates? And the answer is kahid tanin taman. It's like it was taught over there. Maseches midos shloisha asar peratzos hayu b'ay. There were 13 breaches, 13 breaks in the soireg, which is like a fence outside the Azara. It was only up until there that a non-Jew was allowed to come. He wasn't allowed to go into the Azara. He couldn't even pass this fence, which was a little bit away from the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Shepartzu Malcha Yavon, the Greek kings, when they took over Yerushalayim, they made these 13 breaches, and Chazru Gadrum, the Yidden, when they won the war, went back and filled in these holes, V'gazru Kenegdin, Shlesh Yisrael Shetachavayas, and they were Gezer. Corresponding to these, there was 13 bowing downs, the one dozen thanks to Hashem. Now we continue to discuss the Mishnah. It said, Lama Nikos Shmai Sharamayim V'chulu. Why is it called Sharamayim? That's because there's going to be Mayim there, La'asad Lavais. Now we discuss this at length. Ksivit says in the pasuk, "Vahemayimahu will be on that day. Yetsu mayim chaim Yerushalayim v'goymer. Spring water is going to come out of Yerushalayim." And Tani, we have a brayso. This is a pasuk from Zechariah, and this describes a nevuah that we see more in Sefer Yechezkel. How Yechezkel had a vision where Malch took him around and showed him La'asad Lavai how water is going to come out of the Kodesh Kadashim, and it's going to start out as a little trickle and become a raging, roaring river. And here we discuss this. Tani brayso says, "Beis Kodesh Kadashim ada Poreichas." This little trickle of water that comes out of the Kodesh Kadashim from there up until the Poreichas, which is a very small amount, kekarne silai ubilai, it's as thin as the horns or the antenna, really, of flies and mosquitoes. Then, as it continues flowing, mina poreichas, adam mizbeach hazav, from the poreichas to the mizbeach hazav, which is also a very small distance, kekarne chagavim, gets a little thicker and wider, it's as wide as the antenna of grasshoppers. Then, mizbeach hazav, ad hazarois, from mizbeach hazav until the hazarois, which is longer, kechuchel shasi, it's thicker, like the vertical string of a loom, min hazarois van miftan abayis, from the hazarois until the threshold of the base of mikdash, it's a little bit thicker, kechuchel arev, like the horizontal part of the loom, mikan ve'elech, from there and on, kimipia pach, it's even wider, like the stream that comes out of the mouth of a flask. And the pasuk says, v'nei mayim mefachim and akatef haimonis, the water was trickling out of the right shoulder, and this is what the Mishnah is referring to when it says, shar hamayim, that's like the right shoulder of the Beis HaMikdash. If you're standing by the Kodesh Kadashim, facing the front of the Beis HaMikdash, or the entrance, so the shar hamayim is on your right, that's like the right shoulder, if you will, and there's water coming out of there as well, meeting up with the stream that we continue talking about. Ksiv, the pasuk says, b'tseso ish kadim, when the man went out towards the east. Again, this is the Malch who's leading Yechezkel. The Kav B'yadai, he had a measuring stick in his hand. V'yamad Elef Ba'ama, he measured 1,000 Amis. V'yavirein Ba'mayim, Me'afasim, and he brought me in the water. It was Me'afasim. What does that mean? Ad Karsula, it only came up to the ankles. It was very shallow. The Pasuk continues. V'yamad Elef, he measured another 1,000 Amis. V'yavirein Ba'mayim, Me'berkayim, he brought me in water. That was Me'berkayim. What does this mean? Ad Berkaya, the water reached up until the knees, so it was deeper. Then the Pasuk says, V'yamad Elef, he measured another 1,000. V'yavirein Me'masnayim, he brought me in water. There was Me'masnayim. What's this? Ad Masnaya, it came up until the loins or the hips. And kind of elech, from there on, the pasuk says, V'yomar Elef, he measured another 1,000. Nachal, it was a stream, asher loy uchalaver, that I wasn't able to walk through because the current was very strong and it was very deep. And I feel the birunin g'dayla in yuchal laver by, even a large ship wasn't able to go through it. Matam, what's the source for this? The pasuk says, V'tzi adir loy avrenu, a mighty vessel shall not cross it. Mipnei ma'an. And why is that? The pasuk says, Ki go hamayim mesachu, the waters swelled to be mesachu. And the question is, ma mesachu, what does that mean, mesachu? The answer is, milashut, from swimming. Now, lashut doesn't just mean to swim, it also means to row a boat or to guide a boat. And so we see that the water was so powerful, it swelled to such strong proportions that even a boat wasn't able to cross this river, which again, it had started in the Kodesh Kedashim as a tiny little thin stream. And Rav Chana says, ba'asrin tzvachin l'shaita sachvana. In our place, we call shaita sachvana. In other words, swimming is called by this name, sachvana, which is a lashon of mesachu. And we also see this in the pasuk that tells us, upeiras yadav bekirbay kasher yufaris hasoichel lischois, and he stretched his hand into it like the swimmer stretches his hand out to swim. Now, another understanding, mahu meisachu, what's the lashon of meisachu? That's the proper girsa. How do we understand these words? Rabbi Yosef Rabban, he explains, mayin demismalin ba'alma, it's waters that are spoken about throughout the world. Meisachu is not a lashon of swimming, rather a lashon of speaking, like lasuach, to speak. These waters will be so powerful, asulavai, that the entire world is going to be talking talking about them. We continue, Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Bayemu, on that day, Yeh Makar Niftach L'Beis David U'L'Yosh V'Yushalayim L'Chatas L'Nidah. A spring is going to be opened up for the house of David and for the dwellers of Yerushalayim for Chatas and Nidah. What does this mean? So Shmuel Renachman says, B'Shem Rabbi Yonasan, Mi'Beis David Ad Yosh Yerushalayim, from the house of David, which is also known as Har Tzion, which is a little bit outside Yerushalayim. From there, up until the dwellers of Yerushalayim, this stream will be Kisherim L'Nidah U'L'Chatas, Kasher, for both a Nidah to immerse in, and for the Mechatas. We have the ashes of Paraduma that need to be mixed with Mayim Chayim, pure spring water. There can't be any other waters mixed inside, so this water is pure spring water. It could even be used for the Chatas, for the waters of the Paraduma. But Mikan Ve'elech, from here and on, as it continued flowing, Meitarevishayim, it's considered water that's a mixture, and Kisherim L'Nidah, it's Kasher for Nidah to immerse in, but Ipsulim Mechatas, they're possible they're not be used for Mechatas. Now, Blazer says that no, Mi'beis David Vad Yosher Yerushalayim, from the house of David till Yosher Yerushalayim, Kisherim L'Nidah U'Lechatas, but Mikan Ve'elech, from there on, Meitarevishayim, it's water of slopes, because it's a very sloped area, it's very steep actually, and water's flowing down at a rapid pace, and Psulim Lenida Ulechatas is possible for both Nida and Chatas, because this water not only can't be used for Chatas, as we said before, it also can't be used for Nida to immerse in, because since it's flowing down the hill, it's not considered like one group of water that one would be able to immerse in. The pasuk continues, Vayomer Elai, he said to me, this is Yechezkel relating that the Malach said to him, Hamayim Ho'ele Yoitzim El Halgalila HaKadmayna, these waters go out to the eastern Galilee. What's this referring to? Memvavon Bezantab, Ze Yam Shal Samchu, this is referring to the Sea of Samchu, which is some sort of a large lake that used to exist. It's machlaik is what this is. According to some, it's actually Emek HaChula, or Hula Valley, which was more or less drained quite some time ago in northern Eretz Yisrael, north of the Kinneret. The pasuk continues, Vayerdu al Rava, it went down to the plain, Ze Yam Shal Tveria, this referring to the Sea of Tveria, in other words, the Kinneret. Then the pasuk says, Ubo Hayama, and they come to the sea, Ze Yam HaMelach, this referring to the water flowing all the way to the Yam HaMelach. Then the pasuk says, Al Yama HaMutsaim, to the sea, which is Mutsaim, Ze Hayam HaGadol, this is talking about the Yam HaGadol, the large sea, often translated as Atlantic Ocean. Now, V'lama Nikra Shmai Mutsaim, why is it called Mutsaim? The answer is, Keneged Shnei Pa'amim Sheyatza, corresponding to the two times that it went beyond its boundaries. Achad B'dar Enosh V'achad B'dar HaFlaga, one in the times of Enosh, one in the Dar HaFlaga. Enosh was Adam's grandson, Adam Sheis Enosh, and his times, people started serving Avod Zarah, so Hashem made a mini Mabul. It wasn't so mini, it was pretty big, but it wasn't as big as the main Mabul, and that's the first time that the water went past its boundaries, and the second time was in Dar HaFlaga. Now, Blazer says, B'Shem Rav Chanina, Barishayna, the first time the water went beyond its boundaries, Yatza Ad Calabria, it went up until Calabria, which is a place on the coast of Italy, not the Calabria that we know in Italy now, but a different place. Ubishnia, and the second time, Yatza Ad Kipe Barbaria, went up until the Barbary coast, which is in North Africa, whereas Rav Acha says, B'Shem Rav Chanina, that no, Barishayna, the first time, Yatza Ad Kipe Barbaria, it went up until the Barbary coast. Ubishnia, the second time, Yatza Ad Akko Ivad Yafa, it went all the way until Akko and Yafa, which are in Eretz Yisrael. What's the source for this? The pasuk says, Ad Poi Tavoi V'loi Taisef. Up until here you will come and not go more. That means, Ad Akoi Tavoi V'loi Taisef. Because Ad Poi could also be understood, Ad Koi. Koi is here, and that's like the name Akoi. And also the pasuk says, Ufai Yashis B'goin Galecha. And what does that tell us? Ad Yafai. Ufai is like Yafai. Ashis G'goin Galecha. That's where the majesty of your waves is going to go. Now we continue discussing this, clarifying what we said at the top of the Amud, that again, this river, the stream that initiated in the Kodesh Kedoshim went all over Eretz Yisrael. So we ask, Nicha, Yama Rabba, Yama de Milcha. It's good to say that it went to the Yama Rabba, the big ocean, and it went to the Yama de Milcha, which is the Yama Melach. Why would it go there, B'shvil Mitkan, in order to sweeten them? The Pasuk tells us that. These are salty waters, and we want them to come sweet. So this river that came from the Kodesh Kedoshim sweetened them. But Yama de Tveria, Yama de Samchu, why would it flow to the Sea of Tveria and Samchu? That already has plain water, it's not salty. And the answer is, Lirbos de Gassam, in order to bring a lot of fish there. As the Pasuk says, Lemina Tiya de Gassam. And what does that tell us? Lemine Minim Tiya de Gassam. There's going to be many species of fish in these areas, so even though they didn't need their water sweetened, Hashem had the river flow there to bring a lot of fish. And Tani, we have a bright, so Arum Shem Gamliel, my side of the story, Shalachti Letzidon, I went to Tzidon or Tzidon, Vavilufana, Yosem Yisholish Meis Mine Dogim Tamcha Echad, they brought in front of me 300 different types of fish on the same platter, sounds like a Rebbe's platter, and so we already see a precedent for this, that there was tons of different types of fish in one place. The Pasuk continues describing, it says, V'nirpu'u Hamayim, Bitzaisav Ugvav, V'lo Yirpo'u, L'melch Nitanu. And the water will become sweetened, it's swamps and pools, and it will not be sweetened, it will be there for salt. So obviously it's a stira, Ksiv, V'nirpo'u Hamayim, it says the water's going to become sweetened, V'at Amrit, V'lo Yirpo'u Hamayim, and then you're saying that it's not going to be sweetened, well, make up your mind, is it going to become sweetened or not? And the answer is, Makam Hushashmai V'lo Yirpo'u. There's actually a place that's called V'lo Yirpo'u, and that place stayed salty, Dafka, so there was a place to get salt from, but all the other waters were sweetened. We continue. Ksiv the pasuk says, "Valanachal yale al sfasa mizeh umizeh," and on the stream will come on its two banks, one on this side, one on that side, kolets maichal, all fruit trees, lo yiba alehu, its leaves will not wither, v'lo yitam piryoi, and its fruit will not stop, l'chadshav yivaker, it will ripen l'chadashav. So Tani, we have a braisa, Amar Bihidi tells us, l'fisha ba'ilam hazeh, tevuah oisal shisha chadashim, in this world, meaning the regular way things work, it takes 6 months for grain to ripen, v'ilan oisal shneimasar chaydesh, a regular fruit tree produces only once every 12 months, aval asad lavay, the pasuk's telling us, l'asad lavay, hatvuah oisal chaydesh achad, grain is going to be produced in 1 month, v'ilan oisal shnei chadashim, and a tree is going to produce its fruit once every 2 months. Matam, what's the source for this? Well, the pasuk says, l'chadashav yivaker, and chadashav is plural, it means it's months, and so that's telling us that there will be bikur, that will be ripening of the fruits in 2 months, and half that time is going to be for grain, that's 1 month. Now, Rabbi Yaisi argues and says, no, l'fishav ayla mazeh, tfu oisal shish chadashim, v'ilan oisal shnei masar chaydesh, in this world, grain takes 6 months to ripen, fruit takes a year to ripen, aval asad lavay, but in the future, hatvu oisal chamisha asar yom, grain is going to ripen in 15 days, v'ilan oisal chaydesh echad, and fruit is going to ripen in just 1 month. And what's a precedent for this? Shekein matzanu sha'asas tfu v'mei yoyal chamisha asar yom v'kar mena oimer, we find the nes being related in days of Yoyal HaNavi, the grain ripened in 15 days, and they were able to bring the carbon oimer from it. And matam, what's the source for this? The pasuk says, u'bnei tzion gilu v'samchu b'Hashem l'keichem, and b'nei tzion rejoice and be happy with Hashem your God, kinos l'chem es ha'mayra l'tztaka, because he gave you the mayra in righteousness, v'yar l'chem gashem, mayra u'malkosh b'rishon, and he had gashem, mayra and malkosh, which is two different types of rain that usually fall during two different seasons. He had them fall in the first month, he had them fall during Nisan. As we see this precedent, the grain can grow in 15 days, which would mean in Mela, the fruit would grow in just 1 month. Now the question is, Memzayin Amud Alpha Atap, Mamakayim Rabbi Yosi L'chadash Yivaker. How does Rabbi Yosi explain Rabbi Yehuda's Pasuk of L'chadash Yivaker? L'chadash means months, so it seems to be 2 months. And the answer is that no, B'chol Chaydesh V'chaydesh Yiyem Yivaker. What the Pasuk's telling us, according to Rabbi Yosi, is that every single month, new fruit is going to ripen. That's what it means L'chadash of. Throughout all the months, each month is going to produce a new crop of fruit. We continue explaining, the Pasuk says, V'aleyu L'trufa. Literally translated, this means its leaves will be for medicine. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, he explains differently, Tarpeha matzatz ale v'taraf mezayna. The fruits sprout forth from it and provide sustenance. That's the lashon of terufa. Terufa is teref, which is like mazayn, it's food. That means the fruits are going to sprout forth and be very satiating. Now, Rav Shmuel, they argue about this with another pshat, understanding this as that there's some sort of healing property to these leaves. Chanamar, one of them says, lahat yirpeh shalamalon. These leaves open up the upper mouth, which means if a person is a mute and they're not able to speak, so it's going to open up their mouth. V'charnamar, the other one says, lahat yirpeh shalamaton, it's going to open up the lower mouth, which is referring to a barren woman who can't bear children, she'll be able to bear children. And Rechanin, Rabbi Shuman Levi, they also argue about this just more explicitly. Chanamar, one of them says, lahat yirpeh akarois, to open up the mouth of a barren woman. V'charnamar, the other one says, lahat yirpeh ilmim, to open up the mouth of a mute person. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to explain the Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.